Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
This is Social Geek Radio. Hello, geeks. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Gusto. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll and benefits to small businesses across the country. They were even named Best Online Payroll by PC Mag. And as a Social Geek listener, you'll get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Sign up and give it a try at gusto.com/SGR. That's gusto.com/SGR. Today, we're going to take a little bit of a different route into the world and the woods of analysis and problem solving. Joining me today is the Chief Operating Officer of Soccer Shots Franchising. It's Matt Karowski. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jack. Great to talk to you.
Well, welcome to Social Geek Radio. We've known each other for quite a long time, and I've been dying to get you on here to pick your brain about some of the in-depth analysis that you do in the franchise space. But before we get into that, give us a little bit on your background. What's your story?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Jack. As you mentioned, we've known each other some time. My background is really in the marketing side, so I've been in a number of agencies over the years, as well as a little bit on the brand side for Under Armour back in the day. So I really came at this from a marketing standpoint, joined Soccer Shots now almost 5 years ago, which is crazy to even say out loud that it's been that long. Came into marketing and franchise development space as the VP at that time. And as you mentioned, I'm now in this role of COO. That's been a transitional role for me now for about the past 18 months that I've been kind of moving into and finally feel really settled into that space.
You also describe yourself as an integrator. I love that. Explain it.
Yeah, for sure. I know Gino Wickman and Traction EOS has definitely gained some momentum throughout the franchise world. We bought into that a few years ago as just a way to, you know, as our business has been scaling, and it has been scaling like crazy. I mean, there were 10 employees when I started just under 5 years ago. There's 30 of us now. We just needed to really clean up our systems and processes and just get more efficient internally. So as the integrator, I report into our CEO, who is our visionary, and he's really looking out ahead at the what could be for Soccer Shots, the big picture. And my job as COO is an integrator is to get stuff done. So I work really closely with our entire leadership team. So all of the various departments here have somebody that sits on the leadership team representing that department. And it's our job to develop the strategic plan and execute to get it done, to achieve those goals. And really, the term integrator is just so appropriate because my job is to connect the dots throughout our business so that we're not siloed, so that marketing is talking to product, is talking to technology, and so on, all for the common good of achieving those overall goals.
And I find it fascinating that the COO has a big background in marketing. I think that means you're pretty integrated yourself. You've got your marketing chops and definitely bring that to the operation side.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think, marketing is pretty hands-on component of the business. And it just made sense. In Traction, they talk a lot about kind of finding skill sets and strengths and making sure you have the right people in the right seats. And the visionary, I'm glad my boss is the visionary because that's what he's great at. And I think I really love living in the details.
There you go. Well, let's talk a little bit about those details. You were telling me offline about a topic you've been obsessing over lately. Tell the listeners about this.
Yeah, obsessing. I think I might even say geeking out, which seems appropriate for this podcast.
And that's why you're here.
Yeah. And I could talk about this for days. I'll try not to. But, franchising, by its very nature, that business model is about scale and efficiency and trends. And that's obviously critical to being successful in a franchise system. And I think as franchisors, our tendency is really to look at that roll up, that big picture. And again, there's a reason for that. That makes sense. But I can't remember the exact number now, but I know that when you look across franchise systems, the reality is that most franchise systems are, not 10,000 units. Certainly there are those exceptions out there, some very big, powerful systems out there, but somewhere in the hundreds or less even. And when you're at that size, it's actually can be really relevant and manageable to dive into that franchise level analysis to really get to core, to identifying core issues and core challenges. So maybe an example might help take it out of that kind of conceptual geek speak to something real. You know, let's say we're looking at system-wide revenue as a franchisor, and you know, we've got, you know, something 100 plus franchisees, whatever that number may be in any given system. And let's say, you know, you're halfway through the year and you're looking at your year to date and you're saying, oh, awesome, we are, you know, X percent above our budget for the year. So we're doing great. All right, let's move on to the next month. And that very well might be the case, but what we have found and what I've found in kind of diving a little deeper is that roll-up is really just, that number, while important, isn't really a telling number in and of itself. It's really a roll-up of 100 plus other numbers. So you might look at that and say, man, we're doing great. And then you dive a little deeper and you say, wow, there's a handful of really overachievers right now who are just crushing it this year. And you know, that's great, but that's skewing our numbers high. And it's actually maybe masking maybe a larger number of those who are falling a little short. And that's just one example where if you didn't dive into that little deeper micro analysis, man, those little issues can compound. And before you know it, you have a big issue. And now you're saying, well, wait a second, we were tracking right along there, you know, for the first three quarters, and all of a sudden we're not.
Yeah.
And it could very well be that there was an issue all along that wasn't identified.
Yeah, that's a great example. I recently saw, and I was working with a franchise brand that had under 100 units, and 25% of their revenue was coming from one franchisee.
Wow.
And the first thing I thought of was, what happens when he or she has a bad year or gets hit by a bus or something in that market changes? The entire system is relying on 25% of their revenue coming from this one spot. And, you know, and to your point, if you were just looking at the high level, you would just say, hey, numbers are looking pretty good this year.
Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah, for sure. I mean, and even somebody might just have a banner year in terms of growth, and they might just shoot through the roof because of maybe they've really, you know, doubled down or invested heavily in their staffing and their organization and really allowed their numbers, especially in our business, in the service business, you know, you could change that trajectory pretty quickly. And next thing you know, you're planning for the next year based off of those numbers. But if you don't have that understanding of, hey, there were a handful of partners who went that route, and you base your numbers off of that, you're probably setting yourself up for disappointment, because you can't just expect that to be happening again.
So when you're digging down this deep into what's happening at every franchisee location or area, do you get any pushback of people thinking that you're just looking for, or maybe you've got a solution for a problem that doesn't exist, or you're just trying to find other problems or something like that? Or do you take the time to explain why you're diving this deep?
Yeah, great question. We do take the time to explain, and ultimately, if we can uncover where the challenges or opportunities are, then we can prioritize and place support there. So that's how we approach it every time, is, you know, we really want to understand, hey, we understood that this is what you were aiming for this year. You're coming up short. What can we do to help? How can we help you, you know, make up ground? And I'm glad you asked that question. I mean, that's really how you can start to peel back and uncover what are those micro issues then. And it's amazing what you'll find out when you get in that deep, when somebody will say, well, you know what, we just lost three key people for reasons out of our control, and frankly, we could barely keep our head above water right now. Well, you know, we can't then expect that that's going to be something that a solution that's going to, you know, be applied in a matter of days. That's going to take some time to right that ship. So, you know, we have to change our expectations accordingly. But it might be something else, you know, where they're saying, well, there's a particular, you know, program and we just need a boost. And maybe that's a way that we as franchisor could say, you know, steer them in the direction of a particular marketing program, right? That might help move that needle quickly. So yeah, we approach that conversation from a solution standpoint, not a, you know, we're not there to pry, we're there to understand, because hey, this is your goal too. And if you're coming up short, I bet you'd be open to some support, you know, to help address that.
Yeah, and we can support you. And oh, by the way, some of your brothers and sisters out there in other areas may be having the same issue, and it's going to help the entire cause. I would assume you mentioned a little bit about staffing. I would assume staffing and recruiting and retention, that's probably an area that you've focused on a lot over the past couple of years as COO, correct?
It really is. You know, I wouldn't say our business is probably unique in that space, but it's definitely a core challenge that is faced in our system. You know, the nature of a coach, for example, is there's some turnover there. And you obviously need to find the highest of quality for folks to be entrusting their children there. So
yeah,
there's a constant need to be recruiting great coaches, and retaining and building a pipeline. And it's actually one of those micro issues that you know, started as a macro. We did some internal, you know, data gathering and surveying with our system, and the word staffing kept coming up. Staff was major challenge. It was the number one challenge. If I had a dollar for how many times I've heard that, you know, since I got here,
yeah,
I don't know how to fix that, because that's pretty broad. You know, that's
What do you mean by staffing? You mean people are leaving, or you can't find replacement people, or there's a problem with gym, right? I mean, that's
right. And is this your full-time staff, or are these coaches, or, you know, where is the real issue? And everything you just named, they all have different solutions, right? So, you know, before we go throwing resources at and making assumptions about what's meant by staffing, we had to really start to peel that back and literally talk to individual franchisees and say, what is the challenge you're facing around staffing? And yeah, we found it's all of the above, but we also found a few key areas where the majority of folks said, this, if you could help us with this one, this is where, you know, or if you could provide us some guidance here. And you know, therefore, then we're able to say, okay, now we can bring it back to macro and say, okay, there's, because again, we are a franchisor. We can't, you know, we can't put resources to every single challenge that's identified at the local level. But when you can start to trend it like that, then we can say, okay, you know what? There's actually a pipeline problem. That's the biggest challenge. Well, the third parties we can engage with that can provide some support around that. You know, what can we do to help move help our franchisees move the needle on that particular area?
So when you're digging into the micro level here, and let's stay on staffing and recruitment and retention, just as a good example, is there sort of a number that you get to, the number of franchisees that have the same problem down on the ground level? Is there a number that you get to when you can say, aha, this is something that's an issue for everyone? It's not just an outlier in, you know, Des Moines, Iowa or something like that. Is there a certain number you get to where it becomes a real problem and you take it up to the, you know, sort of to the system level?
I wish I could say we had that exact science on this.
Yeah.
And it's tough. You know, we definitely are aiming to get to, you know, where is that tipping point? But one of the things we do look at is say, okay, if you know, three or four partners are listing that as a core issue, and by the way, those happen to be three or four partners who are significantly maybe behind on where their budget should be, and that they're big enough that that's having those numbers are big enough that it's actually affecting our roll up. Hey, maybe we need to consider putting some resources to that. I think the other thing we find is more often than not, whether people say it or not, there's, you know, you definitely can identify within the system those folks who are pretty in tune with their businesses and can identify those issues before others may even know they have them. So there's definitely some of that we see too, where there's not necessarily a number that we reach that we say that's an issue, but we say, hey, these folks are running some pretty strong businesses, and if they're seeing that as an issue now, probably others, if they're not seeing it yet, they're going to see it soon. So
yeah,
just kind of you know, who they are and the types of businesses they've run certainly plays some factor in there too.
Yeah. And have they been with you for 6 months and they're, or have they been around for 4 years? You know, I think, that's got to weigh in as well. And I think too, back to your point about the size of the systems, one of the criticisms that I have for franchise quote unquote experts across the board is just kind of lumping all different types of franchise systems into the same pile, whether they have 100 locations or they've got 10,000 locations. You know, there are people out there who just want to say, you know, staffing should look like this or marketing should look like that. And, you know, from what you're doing, if you've got five franchisees that are experiencing the same problem in a system of 100 franchisees, that's a big deal. In a system of 5,000 or 10,000 franchisees, it's nothing. So, or at least nothing, you know, on the macro level. So I think, you know, you're taking the right approach, looking at what is that number that, that really gets to the core of how this could affect lots of people, not just, you know, one location in one town somewhere.
Right. Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we're not unique in this way. You know, within the system, any franchisor can look at it and have their criteria for saying, hey, here are folks who are maybe leading the charge in certain areas of the business. And we created a group we called our Operational Excellence Group about a little over a year ago, where we identified, you know, 20 leaders within our system, and there were specific criteria, quality, quantity, growth, you know, things like that, that factored in. And we literally sat with each of them separately, intentionally separately, and asked, you know, what are the core challenges and opportunities that they're facing? And interestingly, while there were some very micro level issues, we were able to start to pull some trends just out of pulling from that 20. And we felt pretty confident, again, as leaders within our system, that those issues and opportunities would be relevant elsewhere too, not just to that group of 20.
On the far other end of the spectrum, this isn't just for people with 100 locations or thousands of locations. This is something that you recommend for emerging brands as well. Because when you started with Soccer Shots, it was a pretty small number of locations, right?
Yeah, we were definitely under 100 owners at that point.
But even for those that have maybe a dozen right now, every problem is a massive problem and applies to the whole system. But I think you can still dive down into each location and look for these micro issues.
Yeah, and I would, you know, at that scale, one micro issue could be having a significant impact on the rollout numbers. So yeah, I think the smaller the system, probably the more relevant, simply because there's more of an opportunity of one or two franchisees having a bigger impact on the overall, on the rollout.
Yeah. And they're also going to be your leaders, you know, in 3 or 4 years, hopefully. Right. Hopefully they'll still be around and we'll be kind of leading the rest of them in 3 or 4 years. But yeah, then you've got a whole nother problem on the bigger scale too. Let's talk about how this might affect things like franchise development and maybe some other things.
Yeah. I actually recently listened to one of your podcasts around franchise development, and it was great as always. And I think discussion of profiles always comes up, right, when you're talking about who's the ideal franchisee. And I think they're critically important. We ourselves have a couple different profiles that we think are great fits and that we seek out. But even there, we've had to be careful sometimes, right? And say, no, we're not homogenous. Just because we give it a name and call it a certain profile doesn't mean everybody that is exactly the same in that profile. And I think we've opened our eyes to, hey, what can we learn about somebody that we didn't actually know was a factor in whether or not they would be great at this or whether or not they'd be interested in this? And I think one of the things we've done is we've got a pretty developed scorecard for our franchise development process, and something we've been really working hard on the last couple of years. And you know, you need to, right? You need to be able to say, if we're investing resources, where is it most effective? And recently, within the last, you know, 6 to 8 months, I was sitting with our director of franchise development. And again, we're having a good year where we're excited about where we are. But we looked at, we have one of the, there's two steps, you know, within the process. One, you know, where the application goes out and then the application comes back. And we were seeing a little bit of a fall off there, more than what we were, you know, had seen in the past. And we said, okay, why is that happening? And, you know, there were general kind of theories and ideas we had around it. And I said, it's literally a couple hundred people. Why don't we find out why it's actually happening rather than guessing? And man, to our director of franchise development is awesome. And he went back and they dove in and they called every single one of those. And the
guy, oh, I love that idea.
Yeah. And I think they ended up talking to almost like 90% of them. So, which was great. And came out with real answers to each one. And, you know, why have we not heard back from you? And, you know, why, you know, things were going well and they're not now. Can you help us just understand as we try to improve our process? And, you know, we set criteria. We, you know, had to be a certain amount of time that had passed and everything else. And yeah, some really interesting points came out of that. There were some very specific learning points that have helped us reshape some of the messaging, reshape the follow-up process for once apps are sent out, reshape even the communication tools to use. So texting became more important as a result of that direct feedback. Mm. Hey, we'd rather actually work, you know, we're busy, we're working, but we'd love to, you know, get the text from you. That's a great way for us to stay in touch. And, you know, as a side bonus, some of those converted too, because
I was just going to say, this should be standard practice for all Social Geek listeners right now that are doing franchise development or any kind of sales. Go back and talk to the people who said no, find out what's up.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, it's intimidating when you look at this number and we, you know, we were looking at it on a scorecard. So it's just a number at that point, but again, it's a manageable enough size for us. It's not like it's 10,000 people. So yeah. Manageable enough size for us where we wanted to put names and reasons to each and every one of those. And yeah, it's, and we've made changes, you know, as a result of that learning. So
And like you said, some of them may have converted. This could be a great place to go back and get a few more people in the pipeline, at least that maybe were, you never know when somebody was this close to becoming a partner, you know.
Yep.
and maybe one more phone call would tip the scales back. It's it can't hurt, you know. You know, you've got if you've got the time to call 200 people, and I think every franchise system on earth has enough time to call 200 people.
Right. Yeah. And especially, I mean, you convert one of those and that those 200 calls were probably worth it.
Yeah.
You don't convert any of them, but you improve something in your process. You know, I think it's time well spent.
Yeah. I love that story. Any other examples or ways that this whole type of analysis that you're doing now may apply to franchise systems in general?
Yeah, for sure. We're big believers in the Franchise Business Review Survey.
Yeah.
A great way for us to gather feedback. We're now doing not only the annual, but also quarterly pulse surveys. We just implemented that recently. So we've bought all in on that process. And the data you get back is fantastic. And I'm sure you're very familiar. And, you know, there's various categories that where you get the feedback. What we've enjoyed is the next step after that. So our franchisees are often very willing to provide some additional supporting comments, for example, in that survey. That's really helpful for us. Because again, categories are a great starting point, but diving deeper and really understanding behind that, what they're really looking for is what's most important. Another tactic we've used is actually calling any franchisee who actually includes their contact information. They don't have to, but if they do, we call them and ask and thank them first and foremost, and then ask them, hey, can we ask you a few more questions just to dive a little deeper here on your feedback so we truly understand what you're, you know, addressing here. And that's, again, allowed us to get to that micro level on some of these macro categories, you know, marketing being one of them. When I started here in that marketing role, I'll just say we didn't do great on that first survey, but you know, it opened up some conversations around what else, you know, what's really going to move that needle in terms of franchisees' satisfaction, which is obviously a critical metric in any franchise system.
Yeah, it seems like people are apprehensive about having conversations with franchisees. They're like, are you kidding me? That's the people you need to be talking to every day and on every project to find out what's making them happy or what's going to make them not so happy in the near future. Excellent.
And we would apply it in-house here, and this is not unique to franchising, but even things like our staff surveys. You know, we aim to be a great place to work, and that's critical for us. And so we collect, again, data and information. And then even just recently, you know, our HR team broke the some of the respondents up into separate focus groups to just dive a little deeper and get to some of the core feedback, you know, what around those questions of what would make us a great place to work, you know, where do we have room to grow? And there's actionable stuff coming out of that. So again, it's just any time that you can, you know, take any time that it's feasible to look at the big picture and then break it down into more specifics, I think this overall concept applies.
Great. I love that. Taking it outside of just the work with franchisees and candidates, but actually taking it to your corporate team as well. Cannot hurt. Terrific, Matt. Thanks for that. We'll be back in just a moment to get some places where people can hit you up for more questions and answers. But first, this episode of Social Geek is brought to you by Gusto. If you have a business or know someone who does, you probably know that small businesses wear a lot of hats. And some of those hats are great, but some, like filing taxes and running payroll, are not so great. That's where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and simple management tools all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they even make it easy to add on health benefits and even 401ks for your team. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way modern small businesses work. But Gusto is. So let them wear one of your many hats. You've got better things to do. Social Geek listeners get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Try a demo and see for yourself today at gusto.com/SGR. That's gusto.com/SGR. Matt, in the couple of minutes we have left here, if our listeners have additional questions on today's subject or they want to find out more about Soccer Shots or what's going on with you these days, where can we send them?
Yeah, sure. I'm love to connect on LinkedIn. I'm very active there, spend a lot of time there, monitor it closely. So I guess you could probably have the spelling of my name on the podcast, but it's KUROWSKI. So please, folks can hit me up there. And of course, they can check out Soccer Shots at soccershots.com to learn more about our business.
All right. And we'll have links to all of those places at socialgeekradio.com. Matt, thanks for joining us today on Social Geek, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Thank you so much, Jack. Enjoyed it.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.